Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Western New York Entrepreneur, where we help entrepreneurs take the next step in their own business. And before I dive into today's podcast, I just want to let you guys know that something big is happening with the Western New York Entrepreneur in September. I'm not going to announce it, I'm just going to do a little cliffhanger really quick, but let you guys know that something's happening. If you are sick of virtual networking events, if you're like me where you're an extrovert and you're just like, I want to get out, I want to network, I want to just get out and just start being, I guess you would say, normal again, make sure you follow us on social media. Make sure you're subscribing to our email list. It's on the WNYEntrepreneur.com, and you can be the first to know about this big event. So that being said, let's dive into today's podcast. I have Larry Midas. He's also known as Leadership Larry. He's the founder of Speaking of Strategy. Larry's a local guy here in Western New York. Larry, thanks so much for being with us
today. Oh, Dave, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. So let's dive in because, you know, a half hour goes pretty quick. So that being said, Larry, for those that don't know your journey or who you are and what you're really about, what should people know about you?
Well, I'm an independent business consultant. I really juggle three or four balls, that being one of them. And my clients run the gamut from mom and pop local companies to international enterprises with thousands of employees. Most of my focus in the consulting world is what I say is on the people side of business. It's organizational design, leadership development, management development, sales and marketing strategy. I do a little bit in the financial side. I can read an income statement, cash flow, balance sheet if it gets crazy and forensic. I call my CPA friends and I plug them in and they do the deep dive on the numbers because I can't look at Excel spreadsheets and pivot tables for 8 or 9 hours a day and I don't want to either. You know, that's the consulting side. I've been in and around higher education for 24 years in some way, shape, or form. I've been a full-time staff member at different colleges. I've been a faculty member, an adjunct faculty member, a trainer, a vendor. You name it, I've done it. I'm still involved in higher education. I've done a lot of work with the Center for Entrepreneurial Leadership up at UB. I think we're 14 years into it now. And then pre-COVID, still there, but pre-COVID, the third ball I juggled was speaking. Mm-hmm. A lot of public speaking engagements for corporations, trade shows, conferences, seminars, things like that. And the newest ball I threw up in the air, the fourth ball, so juggling's getting a little bit more difficult, is I've got my first book coming out next month. And that book is entitled We Tried That Once, and the subtitle is And Other Popular Excuses That Sabotage Business Success. And
I really, like that. We Tried That Once.
You know, I woke up one night, Dave, and I said to myself, I want to write a book. For a decade, I knew I wanted to write a book. This is the 10th anniversary of my business, so I thought, well, this is a good year to write it. And I thought, what are the common themes that I hear from my consulting clients? And I no offense, myself included, I use these excuses, but you hear the same ones all the time.
Yeah.
So every chapter in the book is about an excuse and then how to work through it, navigate around it, not you know, promulgated throughout the organization or avoid it totally. So every chapter, at the end of the chapter, there's take action tips, kind of like a punch list of do these things so you don't get yourself backed into this corner. So we're excited. Should be out in September, and well, we'll see how it goes.
That's awesome. So make sure you guys are checking that out for sure. Do you know the platform they could pre-order or just get involved?
Yeah, when
there?
We come out of the gate, we're going to be on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Eventually, we'll be in the brick and mortars. But for day one, if they find it online, they can order it online.
Yep. Okay, good. Yeah. I just want to make sure we're getting the word out there.
Cool.
So yeah, so what is the thing that you're most excited to do or you like working with the most when you're working in your business?
You know, it's really the leadership people side, like I said. You know, I tend to be a lighthearted guy. I like humor. People learn and remember best when they're having fun. And sometimes I get with C-level people in companies and they're just so uptight. Mm-hmm. And they look at me because I'll say things like, you know, we're not launching missiles here. Calm mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll know when something's mission critical, but whatever you're facing today probably isn't. But one of my favorite questions to ask, and honestly, in 10 plus years, when I ask this question, business owners look at me and go, gosh, Larry, no one's ever asked me that before. I'll look at somebody and I'll say, Dave, look over your shoulder at the history of your business and look at your success, however you measure that success, money, market share, profitability, whatever, and tell me on a percentage basis, break it up into percentages, what percentage of your success is based on luck and what percentage is based on strategy? Mm-hmm. And they usually look at me and they start laughing and they go, boy, I wish I would have had a lot more strategy. I'm doing okay, mm-hmm. but I probably could have been doing that much better. And that's where the journey begins, because we start to figure out, where have they not been strategic and where do they need to be strategic? Mm-hmm.
No, that's really good. So for our listeners out there, make sure I hope you're actually like pondering that question. How much of your success has been luck or strategy, right? And I'm not going to lie, I was kind of answering the same way, Larry. I was like, maybe it's some, I mean, there's some luck involved. Absolutely. Yeah.
And right? You know what? I'll take luck. Everything. I'll take luck any day of the week, but yeah. I want that to be the icing on the cake. The cake's got to be the strategy. I'll take luck till the sun goes down, but you can't just bank on that alone.
That's true. And I was like, well, I worked hard and I really, you know, I worked my butt off. Absolutely. But sometimes it's the right time, the right place. I worked hard for 3 years and I finally got my break because this happened, right? There's an element of luck involved, but I'm curious, Larry, how and why did you become an entrepreneur and a business consultant? I mean, you can do a lot of things for a living today.
I always knew somewhere in my heart of hearts that I wanted to be self-employed. And the real driver was when my children were younger, I wanted to maximize the amount of time I had with them. And I thought, you know, an 8-to-5, 9-to-5 job, and I had some great ones, worked for some great organizations with fabulous people that I'm still in touch with. But I thought, while I'm working for somebody else, I can't do that. And so I went back to school for my master's degree in organizational leadership, and I've held that degree now for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And when I ended the program, I said, okay, here I am. I'm at the crossroads of the highway. I either keep doing what I'm doing or I take the leap. And quite honestly, I took the leap. And, you know, there are days where I work 16 hours because I want to. And there are days that I work 16 minutes because I want to.
Yeah.
And I can afford to. And it's given me time that I'll never get back. When my boys were in high school, they both played lacrosse. I was fortunate enough to be able to coach. And I couldn't have done that with a quote-unquote, you know, real job. My neighbors are mostly older than me, and they kind of can't figure out still what I do. So I told them while I'm in the witness protection program and that they can't tell anybody. And that's why I'm home so much, because they're like, well, you don't seem to work. I'm like, I work.
Yeah,
I just don't work the way you worked when you were. You know?
That's so funny, Larry. Because when my wife met me 4 years ago, she's like, "Are you a drug dealer? Because you maybe work like 2 days a week." Yeah. And she just caught me right at my business. And I'll make it short because it's about you, not about me. But she just caught me right at my business where I worked really hard for 2 years. I'm like, you know what? I want to take like not the year off, but I want to really just enjoy my life and do some things. And she caught me, and I met her right at that point. And she's like, "I'm a little weary about you." Yeah. But go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that's and then I looked at my passions in life and the jobs I had held prior. And I'm fortunate because everything I've done, I pretty much picked. I was a real estate broker for 12 years. Loved it. I worked in marketing and advertising for longer than that. Loved it. And I looked at all those pieces and said, if I bring these pieces to the party, can I help business owners and companies in these areas so I know what my strengths are and I know where I can't run, what lane I stay out of, and I find other people that I can refer, you know, those clients to get help. You know, you probably know this. I've been married for 32 years, and I couldn't do any of this without a phenomenal support system, without my wife trusting me and believing in me and saying, okay, go out there and do your thing. You know, I'll have my job and you know, I'll take that predictability any day of the week versus Larry, you wake up and you don't know if it's going to be there. I'm like, well, if you work hard enough, it's going to be there. So I'm super fortunate that I've been blessed that way to have Kathy in my life and our kids. You know, they I may have unduly influenced our sons because they both went to college for business, but they're both doing well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm that guy. My wife reads romance fiction novels. I read business books.
Yeah. Either way, there's reading involved.
Absolutely.
And that's so true. And a lot of us, you know, for example, we're already 9 minutes in, and some people sometimes wonder, hey, why are we talking so much about stories and how we are? Because I think that it's just so important to know that that how we formed who we are and how we become who we are. And really, it's a journey. It's not like a destination of, I really think it's very true that we never reach a destination. Of course, we hit pivot points and we hit important, I guess you would say, steps in our business. But I think it's so important to know that who we're becoming is more important than what we're doing. And I love, and my favorite part of this is stories.
Yeah.
Of course, learning is great too. So thanks very much for sharing through your story. But let's dive into some learning for our listeners. So what advice do you have for CEOs and entrepreneurs, Larry?
A couple of things come to mind, again, just based on my history and being around business people for the majority of my life. I mean, I lied about my age to get my first job. I was 15 years old, and I always tell my kids that story because it took me a year to get caught in the lie. So I'm like, that's why you don't lie, because eventually it comes back to bite you out of nowhere. But some of the things that I would recommend for entrepreneurs and CEOs, number one, don't insulate yourself or isolate yourself. I meet a lot of people who still buy into that mentality of, oh, leadership's an island and you're out there all alone and nobody knows. I'm like, it's an island if you let yourself be on an island alone. You still have to network. You still have to run with people like yourself. Critical piece there is run with people like yourself. Get away from the naysayers. Get away from the people who say, you'll never do that. It's been done before. Even my journey to write the book, I purposely told everybody I could 9 months ago that I was going to write a book, so they would keep asking me if I had done it. But I met so many people who said, well, you're never going to finish. You're going to bail out. It's too much work. Yeah, I've met 1,000 authors who failed, and I'm like, okay, have a nice day.
Yeah.
You know, I'll bring you a copy when I'm done. So, be careful who you hang around with. Have that support system we talked about a few minutes. If it's friends, family, I always recommend a personal advisory board. Not people who are shareholders or stakeholders in your company, but just friends you can call at 3 a.m. and say, hey, I'm thinking this. Stop talking and listen to their feedback. Mm-hmm. They're either going to say, hey, Larry, you're smoking dope, or that's a great idea, or, you might want to pull back on that a little bit, or how can I help?
Yeah,
You need 3 to 5 people in your life, I think, like that. And always, always, always do your homework, do your research. Because, the great thing, the bond of entrepreneurs is we have passion and we have vision. Mm-hmm. But we don't always have common sense and strategy. And in 07, 08, 09, when the market got really bad, all of my banking contacts that I talked to said, 70% of their portfolios were crashing because they were entrepreneurial companies that had a lot of passion but didn't have a plan and didn't have a backup plan and couldn't survive that financial crisis, just like there's a financial crisis now with COVID-19. So I think doing the research, we all have great ideas, but it might already be out there halfway around the world. But the flip side of that coin is sometimes the next great idea is just a subtle tweak on something that's already there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's really good. I think it's so important to have that sounding board. I like that really first point you make too, because all of it's great, because so many of us as entrepreneurs, I'll give you a really easy example, like doctors, chiropractors, dentists, like they went to school for 8 years how to be, obviously take care of patients and what they're doing, but very rare they took a marketing class, or they took a marketing class, and they have really, they're not really sure how to do the X and O's of actual business, or how to market, or how to really just get their name out there. And I think that's, I think that's when you come in.
No, that's a great point. I mean, in fact, I have clients that are in the medical field, and I have clients that are in the legal field, and God knows they're a lot more intelligent than I am.
Yeah.
But I look at them, and they don't take offense, and I say, guys, ladies, let's be honest. In med school, how much business did they teach?
Yeah.
In law school, how much? Well, not a stitch. I'm like, there you go.
Yeah.
Somehow we think, though, when people are that intelligent and they get into those professions, that they're going to figure all of that out. And quite honestly, they shouldn't have to. They should understand it. But they shouldn't, their focus is law or health, and that's where their talent lies, and that's where they should pay most of their attention.
No, that's so good. So if you don't have an advisory board, we'll call it, or a sounding board, at least you have the podcast, at least learn some entrepreneurial tips that at least have worked here in Western New York. So we have plenty of episodes. So if you're trying to get tips on marketing or all these other different ideas of how to get the word out, there's plenty of episodes to listen to here. But anyways, what things do you think in your mind, Larry, inhibit growth or success of entrepreneurs?
Oh, that's another great question, Dave. And we alluded to it a few minutes ago. I'm all about passion, but if you're all passion and no strategy, it's a problem. There's got to be a good mix there. And patience. So many people rush and don't understand sometimes the process, the research, the due diligence, the legality of some of their ideas. You know, if any of your listeners have ever experienced QVC, it's been around, I don't know, 30, 35 years. That thing is a machine in Pennsylvania. And trust me, if you think you've got a product, you're going to get on that program, it's not going to happen soon. It's not going to happen inexpensively because they have a research lab. They have attorneys. Anything that hits their airwaves, they're rock solid. They know it's the real deal. And they know their sales metrics down to the second of viewership. And it's a high, high, high bar to clear. But I've met people who have said, yeah, I'm going to get my product on QVC. I hope it happens, but you could run out of money. Or you could do so well that your business could go out of business because you can't fulfill fast enough if you are that successful. So you got to kind of know the timeline. You got to watch your passion, have the strategy. I hate to say it, but sometimes I've met some people who are their own worst enemy because they develop a sense of arrogance. And when I teach and when I lecture and when I speak, I always tell people, I draw a line, a vertical line on the board, and I say there's a line in the sand between confidence and arrogance. Mm-hmm. And I want you to get really close to the line within a 16th of an inch on the confidence side, but never cross into the arrogant side. And we can all think of people we've known in our lives that we've worked for maybe who were arrogant. We didn't want to listen to them. We didn't want to learn from them. We pretty much convinced ourselves we couldn't learn from them. And we distanced ourselves. And those aren't the people at the end of the day that are true leaders who have true followers. And I think the other thing that really comes to mind that can get entrepreneurs in trouble is refusal to delegate. I meet women and men who are working 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week because, quote unquote, I'm an entrepreneur. You don't have to. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people, read Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Work Week. He built mega companies working 4 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do it, but don't get sucked into that mindset of I'm a slave to my job. Again, part of the reason I think people become entrepreneurs is to get some freedom, and working 80 hours a week isn't freedom.
Hey, really quick, if you love what you're hearing so far, please subscribe to this podcast. Leave a review and rate it. It takes 10 seconds, but it means so much to me. Let others know about it. If you know a Western New York entrepreneur who is killing it right now and should be interviewed, please introduce them to me. Again, I want to keep this thing going, so please leave a review and share it on your social media platform of your choice so others know about this. No, I agree. And how, you know, it's like, well, I'm a business owner. Well, you really, the business owns you. And when that, and when that's, you know, obviously in the beginning, you got to do what you got to do. But I think once you're starting to get that over that 40, 50 hour work week, you know, month after month after month after month, burnout was very real. Mm-hmm. It's just, even if we're making a phenomenal income from it, the point mm-hmm. is we're not enjoying our life. Then why do we become an entrepreneur in the first place? You know, so, you know, money is not a good slave. So that being said, time is flying by. Not even fair. But I wanted to get this question out. What is the number one thing that entrepreneurs need to understand? Like they need to understand in order to be successful. And when we wrote this question down, I'm like, ooh, I want to hear Larry's answer on this because I have my thoughts on mm-hmm. it. But I want to hear yours, Larry.
Absolutely, bar none. You have to have some understanding, some knowledge of money, finance, capital. You have to have some business DNA or get the education. And that doesn't mean you have to be a CPA. It doesn't mean you have to be an accountant. I think I consider myself a prime example. I was never a fan of economics and money and banking and lending and capitalization and all those things. But when I went back to school for my master's degree, I took a course about executive finance. And the way they presented it, the teacher was phenomenal. And she said on the first night, I'll never forget it, she goes, you're the person who signs the bottom line on the tax return. If you're a publicly traded company, according to the law, if something's wrong, it's your fanny that can go to jail. You can't go to court anymore and say, well, I didn't know how to read the spreadsheet or I don't know what a balance sheet is. Those days are over. And when I heard that, I was like, uh-oh, red light went off. I said, I better get my arms around this. But the way they taught the course was you read enough, you understand enough to see the red flags, to ask the right questions so you can have intelligent conversations with your bank or your CPA or your corporate controller. You just don't say, I got somebody in a corner office who does my numbers. Not good enough because mm-hmm. the responsibility still comes back to you. And quite honestly, the most passionate people in the world, their entrepreneurial ship can sink if they don't get the business part. Life is a business. Everything is. I always told my kids, if you want to ride a surfboard for a living or make yo-yos, I'm 100% behind you. Mm-hmm. My wife will say the same thing. But you got to understand it's a business that needs a profit. or you're not going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think people sometimes get so swept up in the passion, they forget about the financial piece. So I would say that's number one.
No, that's so good. That's so refreshing to hear, Larry, from a parent, because I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, I was on a bachelor trip for my now brother-in-law, and we were just, I don't know how it came up in conversation, but we were at a nice steak dinner. And I said, you know, I don't care what my kids, I just want them to be happy. I don't care if they're a sidewalk chalk artist, as weird as outlandish as that sounds, but right. I want them to be happy. And I, you know, especially if they're running a business and they're like, well, that'll change when you become a parent. Cause I'm not a parent. It's refreshing here, Larry. So like, I know I'm throwing you on the spot here, but what would you say to that? Because I actually was sitting here going, well, you're right. I'm not a parent. I don't have the experience of that, but I'm sitting here going, you know, like, you know, why are we so fixated on like the, I guess you would see the titles of things. Well, I'm a banker, I'm a CPA. It's like,
yeah. And you know what I think, and this, I think everything happens for a reason. And I think we're living that time now. My wife and I have always said to our children, we don't care if you're the garbage collector. Mm-hmm. We don't care if you're the president of a major corporation. We want you happy mm-hmm. and sleeping at night, mm-hmm. not stressed out. Mm-hmm. And whatever that means. I mean, when we're on our honeymoon, I'll never forget it, in Hawaii, the elevator opened. There was one guy in the elevator, and this guy had 15 surfboards. And I looked at him. I said, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a professional surfboarder. He goes, I'm here to compete. I'm like, what do you put on your tax return? He's like, professional surfboarder. He goes, but yeah, I pay taxes, and it's a business. And if I don't win enough and make enough, I don't eat. So I 100% get that. The good news is, if there's any good news in the COVID economic pandemic environment, it is younger people are realizing the essential trades, the quote-unquote blue-collar jobs, whatever that means, and I'm not a big fan of that term, those are great jobs with great opportunities. My youngest son is about to be 21. He has some friends who left high school and didn't go to college, and they're doing extremely well. One of these young men bought his own house already. Mm-hmm. And they realize, I can have a good living without the debt of college. You know, there's $1.6 trillion of collegiate debt in the United States right now. And I'm a fan of higher education, but,
you worked in it.
Not at a certain price tag. Yeah. And I think if anything we've learned from COVID, it's that semi-tractor trailer driver, mm-hmm. that person stocking the shelves in the grocery store or managing that store, they're all essential jobs. Mm-hmm. So I say there is no shame. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. You wake up happy and with a limited amount of stress.
Yeah. So that being said, I want to know this. And again, I love going off the cuff. Of course, we do some pre-planning and whatnot. But Larry, what would you say has been the biggest random success for you? And what do you think has been like the, I guess I'll say the, I don't like the word mistake, but it's a lack of better words I can think of right now, because we learned so much from our mistakes. At least I have.
Right.
And again, I've said it plenty of times in this podcast, but one of my favorite quotes is, I've learned so much from my mistakes, I'm thinking about making a few more.
Right.
So that being said, what has been like the most random success that you weren't projecting, and what was like been one mistake that you're like, most people wouldn't know about you, I guess you would say. And what did you learn?
I really think I believe this in my heart of hearts every single day. The greatest thing that ever happened to me outside of having our children was meeting my wife. I couldn't be who I am without her love and her support. And you could say it has nothing to do with business, but I say it has everything to do with business. Because if I felt attention every day that she didn't like what I do or didn't agree with my career, it wouldn't work. I think I've been very fortunate, again, to handpick most of my careers and not just have to take a job to take a job and, you know, put food on the table. Biggest mistake, I think earlier today when we first started talking, I talked about juggling three or four balls, one of them being speaking. I wish I would have understood and put more time into learning the speaking business sooner than I did. Because now that I think I understand it as well as I do, it's difficult and it's a full-time job. And quite honestly, I'm glad it's not my only revenue stream, because now, especially now in this environment, not many people are speaking anywhere unless it's on Zoom.
Yep.
I'm never going to let that go. I guess the other thing is I like to think I'm a disciplined person, but it took me up until last fall to sit down and say to myself, you're going to write a book. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have done it 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, you know, other than that, no real regrets. I feel I'm a very fortunate person. I think I'm a blessed person, and I think things happen for a reason. I believe in creating my own path, but being responsible for myself and what that means. And you know, I meet too many people who say they're trapped, and some of them are truly trapped. Mm-hmm. But most of them aren't. You got to make choices and think that through and be smart. So,
yeah, I have two questions left, and we're going to have to do some rapid fire here. Okay. So one I wrote down and one I didn't.
Okay.
But I'll do the one I wrote down first. So how can entrepreneurs gain notoriety as subject matter experts in their field or profession?
You just got to be out there, and myself included, I'm guilty as charged. We all think that everyone knows what we do. And you know, I say to people, okay, go to the second or third largest traffic count intersection in Western New York. Go stand on the corner of Main and Transit in Williamsville. And if people will roll down their window, look at them and say, hey, I'm Larry Midas. What do I do? They're going to go, sorry, you know, get away from my car.
Yeah.
You know, we get sucked into this mindset that we think everyone knows us and everyone knows what we do. And when you talk in percentages, like maybe one gazillionth of 1% of the world knows what we do. So you got to be out there. You got to contribute. I love LinkedIn. Don't be salesy. Be a contributor. Be a thought leader. You know, that term is a little bit beat up lately. It's a little bit cliche, thought leader. Mm-hmm. But honestly, part of the reason I wrote my book was so people would say, hey, I think this guy's got his own original thoughts. Mm-hmm. He's a thought leader. You know, speak when you can, even on Zoom. You know, be a keynote or a breakout speaker at a conference or a trade show or a seminar, author. A lot of people think they don't write well, but they do. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of organizations that are looking for contributors. I guess my best tip is have your listeners Google HARO. HARO? H-A-R-O. HARO stands for Help a Reporter Out. You can get pinged 3 times a day with probably 20 to 30 articles that authors are looking to write, but they need quotes from subject matter experts like your listeners.
Oh, very cool.
And Hero. So you get free exposure in huge publications, Forbes, Entrepreneur. I was quoted in the largest HR publication in the world. Mm-hmm. And somebody literally called me and said, well, if they quoted you, you must know something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, let's do business together. So, yeah, it's, you know, part of being an entrepreneur is that constant, not just marketing your product, but marketing yourself.
No, that's so good. I love that. And you're right. Most people assume that we know what we do, but let's be honest, the world doesn't center or revolve around us. So I've had, you know, people, I've even had family members ask, Dave, what do you actually do?
What do you do?
And I'm like, what? You're really, you're my family member. So that's interesting. But well, my last question is this. What do you think is the most, what's how I want to put it? I had it in my head, but I love listening. I try to focus on listening before I do it. But what do you think is the biggest thing that people overthink as an entrepreneur? Like they overthink things. Maybe, for example, they focus too much on organization of an office or something, and when they should be focused more on profit. What do you think is one thing that people just overthink?
Well, you know, and this is going to sound contradictory to what I said earlier, but sometimes I think people overthink taking the leap. They want to be too ready, too ripe, too right, too perfect. Now, that said, I'm still going to say, do all your homework, do all your research, do all your diligence, due diligence. They still say, you know, have 6 to 12 months of cash in the bank to live off of in case you totally tank. I agree with all of that. But I also meet people and, you know, I'll steal the phrase from Bill Gates. He coined the phrase analysis paralysis. You can think yourself into doing nothing. And that, too, is dangerous. Mm-hmm. So do your homework. I think it was Colin Powell who said one time, when you think you've got like 75 to 90% of the info gathered, pull the trigger, do your thing. Because mm-hmm. the more you do the research, you're still going to come up in the same position. And if you're launching a product or a service and you do all that additional research and spend that time, competition is probably going to end around you and run and get to market before you do. So I would say, you know, be strategic, but don't paralyze yourself into non-movement. You know when it's time. Take the leap. Mm-hmm.
No, I totally agree with you because we all, especially if you can have the perfect plan, at least in your mind, as soon as, you know, business hits and things are going to throw you for a loop and it's all going to, again, the phrase, you know, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face and business hits us from different ways all the time. Oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't know about that. Or I didn't know I had to do this. I didn't know how to do that. I mean, you know, for a really dumb example, I was getting a fence put in my house last month and they're like, oh, you need a permit. I'm like, oh, I thought the fencing company took care of that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like I had a perfect plan to get a fence put in, but apparently I didn't know I needed a permit in a certain village to do so. So that being said, I appreciate you so much, Larry. We have a minute left. So for those who just, you know, love what you're about, they want to connect with you or whatever, you know, for maybe it's your business or just personally, what is the best way for someone to get a hold of you, Larry? Some people put their email out. Some people put their cell phone out. Some people, you know, whatever way that you feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, you know, email's great. My email is very simple. It's leadershiplarry@gmail.com. Or they can go to my website, Speaking of Strategy. If they Google that, or speakingofstrategy.org, they'll find it. Hopefully everyone's going to migrate there in a month and start purchasing the book and recommending the book. But you know what? I mean, I'm an open book. If people want to call me, I'm 716-901-4352. It's on the internet. It's on the website. It's everywhere. And actually, if people go to my website, they can book a 20-minute free chat with me. Just, hey, I'm thinking these things. I don't know if I can hire you or anybody else, but listen to me. Mm-hmm. I'll talk to anybody for 20 minutes.
Yeah, you're very easy to talk to. The first time I talked in the coffee shop, for sure. So, he's not hiding, ladies and gentlemen. So, hey, there again, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your time. And thanks for just sharing your thoughts and knowledge with us.
My pleasure, Dave. Thanks for having me. It was great.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com for articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.